Attorney at County Law, Karen Conti, with us this morning. Let's start, Karen, with the trial of the three officers involved in George Floyd's death. Did you expect them to get the jury all selected in one day?
Actually, no. You know, you would think in a case that's so high profile and that had so far-reaching ramifications around the world that there would be jurors who would already have made up their mind one way or the other. But in federal court, they really move these cases along. It seems like the judges have a little bit more of an iron fist. And, it was one day jury selection. That surprised me. It took 2 weeks for Derek Chauvin's trial.
How are the
jury selection?
The charges in this case, how are they different than the charges in the state court where Derek Chauvin was tried?
You know, I kind of look at it as in the state court, the charges are as to what the defendants did. And in these kinds of civil rights cases, the issue is what they didn't do. So the idea is that these three officers violated George Floyd's civil rights by not intervening when they saw that Chauvin had him in a bad position, and that they deprived him of due process. That's kind of the way you look at it. But, you know, in truth, it's the same fact set. It's the same fact pattern, and it's the same issue here.
What will be the main argument for the defense here?
You know, I think it has to be that the person who's guilty of this is in jail already. That's Derek Chauvin. You know, we were, two of the officers had only, I think, worked 4 or 5 days before they were at the scene, so they were very junior. And I'm sure they're going to argue that Chauvin was in charge. That was the senior officer. He was calling the shots. And to do otherwise, to try to wrest him away from George Floyd at that point, might have been dangerous. In fact, one of the officers, I think his name is Lane, said twice, could you roll him over? Maybe you should roll him over. Again, that acknowledges that he saw a problem, but didn't do anything about it. But he did voice it, which is probably going to be their defense.
Let's move on to the case Sarah Palin versus the New York Times. Trial is delayed because Sarah Palin tested positive for COVID. But eventually this case may set some precedents, could be very important. Talk about this.
Yeah, I mean, First Amendment law is very complicated, Bob, but it's very hard to sue people for defamation. A lot of people think that it's so easy. Someone says something false and you're going to get $1 million. No, there's just really high standards. You have to show, especially if you're a public figure, and in this case, Sarah Palin obviously is a public figure, so that the standard to sue somebody who criticizes a public figure is high. You can understand why. Our country was kind of based on the idea that we should be, you know, criticizing our government and making it a better government in so doing. And in this case, Sarah Palin is asking for the standard to be lowered. The idea being that now that we have internet, everyone's a journalist, everyone's a public figure, we should all have just a standard that says if you say something false about somebody and it damages you, then you have to pay money.
That'll be interesting when that goes on. And finally, this is kind of amusing. We were talking about this a little bit yesterday. A fan sued a movie company because of what they said was a trailer that was misleading. Is that it?
I thought this was kind of an interesting lawsuit. It kind of pulled me both ways. Anna de Armas, a very attractive little actress, was in the trailer, but they cut her from the movie. So she was in the movie, but she ended up being cut. And so these two fans say, well, we rented this movie because we wanted to see Anna, and she wasn't even in it. It's false advertising. And as much as I hate frivolous lawsuits and I hate lawsuits that, you know, don't get you anywhere, you know, that's probably a good lawsuit. I mean, put it this way, if you really love Jack Nicholson and you saw this is Jack Nicholson in the trailer and you rent it and he's not in the movie, that's kind of a bait and switch, isn't it?
I guess. We're talking about a movie that came out a couple of years ago yesterday, which had a great premise about this guy coming up with these Beatles songs because in that world, the Beatles had not existed. A very, very good film, very entertaining, but I guess the trailer was misleading. I don't know. I mean, how do you prove damages? How do you say I want $1 million because of this?
Yeah, I mean, you probably still enjoyed the movie, so, you know, yeah. It's more of a symbolic thing. We'll see what happens. It might just be done for for some publicity.
Do they want their $3.99 back that it cost them to see the movie? I don't know.
Yes, and if they get that, they're lucky. The lawyers will get all the money.
Karen Cotty on WGN Radio. And you got a show on this Sunday, Karen?
Yep, this Sunday coming up. Not sure what it's going to be.
3 o'clock, right?
Yeah, 3 to 5.